Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
It's finally Friday here on the Eric Ain't Show. Well, everywhere, but right here where we're at today at Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 Callahan Drive. Be here till noon. A little rainy today. That's okay. A little rain, I couldn't say never hurt anybody. A little rain doesn't normally hurt anybody.
It's not going to be great if it continues on for softball later.
I want to do something real quick.
Okay.
So, you were here.
Yes.
You were here.
Yeah.
You always are.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that.
Yeah. You missed me drive by.
I missed you drive by. Bad Take and I were watching funny videos on the internet. So we thought maybe you were running a minute late. And the sheer joy
that was giving
that you. That was giving me that maybe Brian's late this time. Because me too. You know, I'm never late either. So, but I had a full plan. I was writing notes down, funny one-liners, zingers. I was going to be so annoying today. Different than most, I guess.
No, but,
It didn't pan out for me.
I arrived here at Callahan Drive about 8:25, but I went over to the donut place over there.
Yeah.
And got a donut, like I do every Friday.
Okay.
And then I came back and went to Weigel's over here and got my drink.
Yep.
This donut place doesn't sell drinks. Weigel's.
You got to do your thing.
This Weigel's has been out of donuts enough that I go to the donut place.
Okay.
And Weigel's donuts are fantastic. Not a paid endorsement, though. We could work that if they wanted to.
Anytime.
But this one over here is out of the one I like on Fridays more often than not. So I always go to the donut place over here.
Well, I was
and then I came
late.
In and I sat in my car over there and I ate my donuts so I don't get donut shrapnel all over Chad's floor here.
You see what my mom brought the boys?
You got donuts. You got
donuts and brownies.
Brownies.
They're going to be happy campers.
It's a good day here at Rusty Wallace Honda.
They're going to be happy campers.
It's a good day here at Rusty Wallace Honda. I-75 Callahan Drive, that's where we are today. Great selection because it's the intersection of selection.
There you go.
And, I mean, look, he's even got a Tesla out there.
Oh, he does.
The pre-owned lot is ridiculous with the selection. And, Eric, what did you say? There are some stranded vehicles out here that need a home.
Listen, Tennessee may have stranded 15 last night. Rusty Wallace Honda's got a lot more than that. They're one up in the Vol baseball program. They got a whole lot full of stranded vehicles that need some help out here.
I was going to tell people about this Lexus NX 300 that was here, but he's putting a drive-out tag on it.
Sold already. Well,
it is sold. But I bet if that's what you want, they can find you another one.
There you go.
Great. Yeah, he says he's got another one. All right, let's roll. Next 3 hours here on the Eric Ain't Show, let's take a look at the game plan. All right. Tennessee baseball did not win last night.
They sucked.
The worst part of it was, it's not like you got some sort of great performance from Kentucky. They had some okay pitching, but Kentucky is just as bad as we thought they were.
They were terrible, and we were significantly worse.
It was not good. They have a long way to go today.
13 innings of suck.
You left, you out-hit them 12-5 and lost.
You got walked 12.
No, I'm
12,
sorry, you allowed them to hit you out 12-5.
You got walked 12 times,
yeah.
Stranded 9 base runners in the first 3 innings, 15 total, and were swinging at balls bouncing before the plate.
They were pressing. Look, I have seen this happen before. I saw it happen from Tennessee softball twice last weekend, where you know you are so much better than that team. And you are so anxious to prove it that your butthole gets so tight that
you
can't
produce
do
a diamond.
It. You can't do it. And that's exactly what happened to Tennessee baseball last night.
Trying too hard.
It's the, to me, especially in baseball and softball, that is the biggest challenge you have going up against teams that are not very good. You know they're not good. You've watched them on film. And I mean, the only pitcher that softball couldn't hit off of from Ole Miss last week was their worst one. Or crushed all the others. So last night, and credit to him, a kid from Farragut gets the start for Kentucky, is okay, but gets out of bases loaded jams because Tennessee can't get out of its own way.
We don't strike out like that.
No.
And we were striking out. And the stuff, his stuff was good. It was fine.
Yeah, it's an uncharacteristic performance by Tennessee. I'm not slamming them that they – but, hey.
Fire Vitello.
You have these, but you've got to bounce back today, and you've got to find a way to bounce back without being tight again.
It's not going to be pretty if they swing at balls that bounce in the dirt. That's the most uncharacteristic thing. Listen, not getting timely hits, that's normal. Mm-hmm. Stranding 15 is abnormal for our team, and that's abnormal for anybody. But stranding runners is a thing. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
But swinging at balls all – just balls. Swinging at balls all game long
Can't
is something
it.
They have not done.
Can't do it.
Best plate discipline in the country, and it's not close. And last night they looked like they'd never swung a bat.
So we will talk more about that coming up a little later on in the show today. Rick Barnes is the new chair of the NCAA Rules Committee.
That's a great pick.
It is.
A history of doing it the right way.
Yeah.
His apprentice is going to be Bruce Pearl.
Not those kinds of rules. This is the playing rules committee.
Okay.
Not the
do it the right way
not
guy.
The do it the right way rules.
Because Will Wade's looking for a job.
Nah.
Bring him on. Teach him. Coach him up. Coach him up.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's not that.
Okay. The actual rules of the game.
Correct.
On the court.
Yes.
Okay. That's still good.
I'll tell you what that means coming up a little later on. The NCAA coming out of these meetings of conference commissioners, and again, the NCAA themselves haven't proposed this, which I think is an important thing that has not been mentioned enough. But conference commissioners and athletics directors want to make rules now on NIL. And they want to make them retroactive, so if you violated one of these rules over the last 6 months or so, you're going to be in trouble. I can hear lawyers starting to buy their new vehicles with the money they're going to make on these billable hours. Because
how can you do that?
None of this will stand up in court.
You can't do
none
that.
None of it.
You can't change the speed limit and then go retroactively give people speeding tickets.
That's what they want to do.
That's exactly what they want to do.
And they've said that.
You're like, we can't unhire why? Bad Take Andy.
Yeah.
You know?
He has been here and has worked and has done work
you can't
for the last,
take away that.
What, 5 years, 4 years?
Feels like 40.
His first day was when you were sick, and remember when people used to work when they were sick, and you worked when you were sick, and you laid on a bed in the lobby of the Hampton Inn downtown.
Yeah, I had the flu.
Yeah.
Probably should have stayed home.
Yeah. But they were
I'm too tough for the flu.
But they were your clients, so you had to be there.
Yeah, I guess. You know who wouldn't go now?
You.
This guy.
No, but you know what?
I got a little bit of a head cold.
Now we have spun, the world has spun back to reality where, hey, if you're sick, you shouldn't come to work.
You had to lay on a bed.
Yeah, you had to lay on a bed.
Too bad. I bet I was absolute gold that day. No? I probably thought I was.
Speaking of people who are bad, Phil Mickelson, according to an article, has more than $40 million in gambling losses. Now, look, I know if you're uber rich, whatever. He's such a bad gambler, he's lost $40 million at it.
With calves like that, you'd think he'd be a better gambler.
You think he'd be better at something.
If calf size could translate to dollars, he wouldn't squawk at $40 million at all.
Then coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, the world-famous unrivaled Chad and Jake. We have the finale today of TV Mom or WNBA player.
Oh, don't call it a comeback. Old Angie might have to get her done.
Comes down to today. We'll preview the rest of the Tennessee baseball series against Kentucky. Tennessee softball with a three-game set against Auburn starts scheduled tonight at Lee Stadium, weather pending.
I know you've looked at the forecast. What are we looking like?
Not great.
Like,
yeah, well. We look like I'm actively figuring out how to reschedule Mother's Day plans for tomorrow and Sunday because I'm not sure how many games we're going to play on Saturday and when we're going to play them, but there's a good chance that the schedule is not going to be as it is. As of now, though, of course, and look, we've had this year. There have been three different games this year where there has been an 80% chance of rain, and it hasn't rained a drop and we've played. So
this is East Tennessee. The forecast can say whatever it wants. It could change in 5 minutes.
At Ole Miss last Monday, it was an 80% chance of rain all day, and it did not rain a drop in Oxford.
I have a feeling you're not going to get that night tonight.
Probably not. But you know what? We're going to go over there, and we're going to sit and wait.
You know what always cracks me up?
What's that?
We don't really get thunder. We don't get thunderstorms on the West Coast like you do down south.
Yeah.
And so my mom last night, it starts. It's like 11, and she's up. She's out on the front porch videoing the thunder and lightning. Mm. She loves it.
Indeed.
Hopefully we don't get any of that tonight.
Or this afternoon.
Or in Lexington.
They got turf up there. They'll be fine.
Not if there's lightning.
That's true. Well,
you guys won't. You play. You're old school. You play in the dirt.
Well, if they the way they hit last night, if they hold up their metal bats and lightning, they won't hit that either. All that and more coming up on the Eric Haines Show. And that's the game plan that's laid out for you by 42nd Street.
42st.com. They want to help you make money. Who? You, business owner, listening right now. If you, and here's the other thing. You start hearing me talk about them and you think, oh, who do I have to fire? I've been using this company for 10 years, 5 years, whatever. You don't have to do that. You can add Mike to your team. It's like you're not hiring an employee. You're contracting, you know, contract labor. But you're hiring him to your squad. Now he's on your team. Imagine him on your team when your competitors don't have him. And if your competitors do have him, then you really need him. 42ST.com.
Look, you mentioned that we have brownies and donuts, and Chad's here way early. He just he rolled in on two wheels.
Oh, yeah. He's
ready. He heard us.
He heard us. My mom makes good brownies.
She does. The Eric Haines Show continues next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show, live at Rusty Wallace Honda.
Hey, you know what I just learned?
What?
This is way early for what we learned today. Don't ever throw Chad's hat out the window.
Ooh, yeah, no.
You're going to get left somewhere.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Well,
that's what Uber's for.
That story coming later. 656-9900, 866-656-9900, if you would like to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Let's lead with Tennessee baseball. We lead with them when they win, so we've got to lead with them when they don't.
It's hard to lead with them.
13 innings last night. Kentucky delivers finally a walk-off single up the left field line. Tennessee had flirted with it. Look, they had their wake-up opportunities in that game multiple times. Hey, you got out of a jam. All right, now it's time to go do it. They didn't go do it. So Kentucky wins 3-2 in 13 innings.
I just – okay, so when you watch – we watch teams win, we watch teams lose. Mm-hmm. When a team like Tennessee loses, we've been saying it for a long time, something major has to have happened. The thing major that happened, the stranded 15 runners, that's just a byproduct of the main problem, which was our inability to swing at strikes. Mm-hmm. It's why we are the best hitting team in the country. We normally play ahead in the count. We take pitches. We did a good job of that at times. When we did, they walked us almost every time. They walked us 12 times. But in all the at-bats where they weren't walking us and we didn't have good plate discipline, we're swinging at balls, bouncing in the dirt. And our best hitters were doing it.
Yep.
The whole team. And, you know, clearly they didn't have the magic potion to just snap out of it and go back up and then have good play discipline. You know what? That's why teams get beat that shouldn't get beat in sports. Because once you're playing and once it's happening, it's really hard to stop. It's like when you go into a football game and you think you have this great game plan, but theirs is better. Mm-hmm. And what you thought you were going to do isn't working.
Yep.
It's really hard to make wholesale changes in game and then, you know, make those adjustments and then go have a lot of success. It's just really hard to do at any level. And that's what happened with our baseball team last night. We're swinging at balls in the dirt, and then you brought it up. They start pressing, and they really – because the pitchers weren't good. That's not fair. Their pitchers were not nearly as good as – the majority of the pitchers that we have seen, and we mash those pitchers. Mm-hmm. we mash the best pitchers on the other teams, and we have all year long. I mean, you're looking at a team who hadn't even slotted their Friday night starter going into the game last night. And they used several different arms throughout the game.
Kentucky threw four pitchers. Guilfoyle threw the last six innings of the game. Gave up one hit in six innings.
And he's not that good.
And only walked two. No, Tennessee, the first two pitchers of the game, Hagdahl from Farragut, went two and a third, four hits, two runs, one earned, walked six.
Six.
But struck out three. Hoodpole came in after that for Kentucky, two innings pitched, did not give up a hit, did not give up a run, walked four. I can't tell you how hard it is to walk four batters in two innings and give up zero runs.
That's been the stranded. I mean, the first two hitters of the first two or three innings were on base, in every inning. You're starting off with no outs, runners at first and second, and you can't produce anything.
16 runners left on base.
And that's not true. Tennessee scored in the second and the third? They got their
one run in the second, one in the third.
Was a walk-in.
Yeah.
But that's why none of it makes sense, because their pitchers are they're walking guys left and right, and we're still not able to get hits and get guys in. You give the last kid credit. He threw a lot of strikes. He also threw a lot of balls that bounced in the dirt, and their catcher did a great job of keeping them in front, and we're swinging at them.
Yep.
You know, this is one of those games where Tony Vitello, it's kind of like Heupel going fast. He gives the green light a lot to his players. I mean, we got guys with 3-0 at bats, and they're swinging for the fence. And that's part of the mentality that our baseball team has, and I like that. I love in sports in general, the most aggressive team normally wins. And it backfired last night. It hasn't backfired all year long. We haven't lost a game because of doing that. Tennessee Tech wasn't great either. They didn't have great play discipline against Tennessee Tech. But the question is, now what do they do?
Yep.
Because if you go out swinging a bunch of balls in the dirt again, you're probably going to lose again.
They look tight. I think it got into their heads even more after they couldn't get a run in the first inning with the bases loaded. And then you cash in for one run in the second and one in the third. I think it got in their heads a little bit, and they couldn't get themselves out of it, which is a rare thing for this team. You know what Kentucky did, though, Eric? And we've alluded to this before. They didn't make Tennessee mad. They didn't do anything.
They let them sleep.
They didn't talk trash. They didn't.
They hit home two home runs. They set the bat down. And they ran around the bases, and they let them lay dormant.
They didn't celebrate until the game was over.
The only thing, I can't pronounce the pitcher's name. Start the guy that finished the game for him.
Guilfoyle.
The only thing that he did a couple times was when he struck a couple guys out, he took the step or two towards the plate and was doing let's go, the scream. He did that a couple times, and I was waiting for that to maybe work, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It's hard to get mad because someone's celebrating when you are walking to the dugout.
Yep.
I mean, it just is. It's hard. They need to figure it out, though. They can't wait for the other team to make them angry like they're Hulk out there.
Yeah. You
can't. They haven't.
You shoved them.
They haven't done that. They are the team that if you want to add, they're already dialed in and they're already more aggressive and they're already talking trash and having fun.
Yeah.
And then if you want to add to that, by all means, go ahead. You're going to get smashed. But we just didn't look like we had it. A little rainy. You're playing a bad team. We know they're bad. Hell, Kentucky knows they're bad. Mm-hmm. They've had all sorts of problems.
Yeah, when you watch them, you realize why their record is where they are.
Yeah, they're not a good team.
That's what makes it frustrating when you can't do anything about it.
Yep.
I just watched it two out of three times down at Ole Miss. Tennessee could bounce back and do the same thing that we did in softball last Sunday, which is come out and win 10-1 and let them know that it could have been worse. But
you still
got to bounce back and then win game three, too.
I saw someone – I don't ever tweet, look at the Twitter, but I did. Mm-hmm. And I saw someone, media member somewhere, is this the game that starts the Tennessee downfall.
I'm sure it was one of the Vanderbilt reporters.
Might have been. I don't know.
There's a reporter that covers Vanderbilt for the Tennessee and that has gone full on trolling Tennessee fans, and it's
at all,
it's really
at all
unprofessional.
Point.
But there, we're, there we are.
But he or whoever, and I was like, come on. They were disinterested. They were. They haven't done that all year long. They're still 18 to 20. Well, now COVID 4 year olds. And they didn't have it last night. Just chalk it up to that. They didn't have it in any facet of the game. We caught fly balls in the outfield. Well, that's about it.
All right, Al, we'll return here to Rusty Wallace on to I-75 Callahan Drive, the intersection of selection. That's where we are today, and we return. More of the Eric Haines Show. Rick Barnes is going to make some basketball rules.
Uh-oh.
That's next on the Eric Haines Show, the Sports Animal.
Last night, top-ranked Tennessee baseball dropped the series opener to Kentucky 2-3 in 13 innings. Tennessee only had 5 hits in the loss and left 15 guys stranded on base. Game 2 is tonight in Lexington. Major League Baseball yesterday, the Brewers doubled up the Reds 10-5. The Mets rallied to take down the Phillies 8-7. The Angels blanked the Red Sox 8-0, and the Rockies took down the Nationals 9-7. In the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche beat the Nashville Predators 2-1 in overtime. The Avalanche lead that playoff series 2-0. In the NFL, linebacker Kyle Van Noy has signed with the Los Angeles Chargers. While in the NBA, Memphis Grizzlies forward Dylan Brooks has been suspended 1 game after his flagrant foul against Gary Payton in Game 2 against Golden State. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Warden.
Flop City?
Yes.
Which they did nothing for?
Their committee did nothing. I bet if Rick Barnes was on their committee, he would have done something.
Because he has an ounce of sense.
He does. He does. So Rick Barnes will serve on the NCAA Rules Committee and help determine, you know, things like freedom of movement. Any game change, any in-game rule changes that are necessary.
I'm trying to think of, I don't even know. Watching college basketball, did I beef with the rules? I do often in football. I don't in baseball. Basketball, I'm trying to think of if I even do. I think I beef with bad calls, not bad rules. More so than anything else. But that's cool. I mean, he's the perfect guy to do that.
There's one obvious one for me, guys.
Well, right. What is it?
The jump ball possession arrow is the stupidest rule in basketball.
You
it should be a tip ball.
Jump. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. It would slow the game down a lot by making it a true tip. But
I know, but you know what? There's
yes.
nothing worse.
Yes, it would.
I even don't like it when we win the jump ball and then we get the arrow. It's like a somewhat satisfied. I agree. They need to do the tip. I'll agree with you on that.
Here's what the playing committee or the playing rules oversight panel is supposed to discuss here over the next little bit. Flopping. One. Outgoing committee chair Bob Huggins said, quote, "We didn't feel like we were getting the results we wanted with the warnings. Our goal is to continue to try and get flopping out of the game. The committee believes giving the officials the ability to call a technical foul when they see a player faking will be more of a deterrent." So one of
not
the
on
changes,
the player, but like a team technical.
No, it's going to be
on the player.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You get teed up for flopping.
If that's the case, then I would say it needs to be egregious.
I think it probably will be, yeah. If a player is called for flopping, the opposing team would shoot 1 free throw.
I'm good with that. Not a problem with that.
No, I like that. The conferences... Here's one I don't like. The conferences will be allowed to experiment with using 5 media timeouts instead of 4.
Is the game too long?
Yes. This will not help. The obvious one we're missing is going to quarters. Because going to quarters does give you that extra timeout. Because we went to it in women's basketball. And the first year they played quarters, it was a huge adjustment. The flow of the game was not right the first year. But then by the second year, it was fine. Really, by the second half of the first year, it was fine. As coaches figured out when they call their timeouts, when they, you know, because you know how it is in basketball. Most coaches break it down, especially in a big game, to to those four-minute segments around the media timeouts. And then when there were quarters in play, the media timeout could be 2 minutes into the quarter, and then you wouldn't have another one the rest of the way, so you'd be going 2 minutes and then 8 minutes. Coaches didn't quite know how to deal with it. But they adjusted very quickly because they're professionals, and it was no big deal after.
It's just how basketball should be played. Yeah. I'm going to go back to Logan's point, though.
Okay.
Listen, it's just a tip, just for a second, just to see who gets the ball.
Yes. Except it's going to take much longer than a second.
Not a lot of seconds. What, a minute? Jump ball, both hands go up in the air.
Okay, but here it is. As it is now, the official points, they give the ball, they throw it in. If you call a jump ball, they're going to call the jump ball, and then they're going to walk to half court, and then they're going to get everybody set, and then they're going to say, okay, are you really set? All right, we're going to throw it in, and then we tip it in.
But
just the tip will take an extra 45 seconds every time it happens.
Going in, but it's to see who gets the ball. So I'm good. The reason I like it, so as a fan, I'm sitting there. Yes, we're talking a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, whatever.
Is the tip more exciting? Yes.
I would wait that time gladly to watch watch the actual tip.
Okay.
Well, you're telling me that it takes too long, so you're not going to watch the tip?
I mean, I'm still going to watch it, but I just – you're talking rules to improve the flow of the game. Needs more.
That's one thing, but as far as the competitiveness of the game, right now you tie the other team up and you need the ball, and it's their arrow, and sure, now it's you get the next one, but usually in games there's not a next one. There's usually only one, one tie-up, and if that's the case and you can go win the tip, then you're off and running. Then it's your ball again.
The committee is also continuing experimental technology rules for conferences to allow teams to view live video on their bench.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. I don't know how realistic and helpful it is. I mean, it can't hurt. I don't know that that's all that necessary. We're talking about basketball.
Yeah.
You can clearly coach without watching film in a game.
So those are the three things. They are not discussing the my proposal, which is to go to quarters like literally every form of basketball on the planet.
In the entire planet.
Yeah. Once women's basketball moved to quarters, it left college men's basketball as the only basketball that exists that plays halves instead of quarters.
Is there some redneck joy out of that?
I have no idea.
We're college basketball, and we do what we do.
No, I think there's just so much old school in the game.
Yeah. Just because it's what you've always done doesn't mean it's right. Can we agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, just because you've always done it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Go to quarters.
When has that ever stopped anybody, especially in college sports?
That's true. Go to quarters. Get rid of the possession arrow. Get rid of flopping. And I think you got three great rules right there.
So their last action was to select Rick Barnes as the new chairman, so he replaces Huggy Bear. I believe it's a 2-year term.
Good. Good for him.
Rick Barnes will definitely
The guy. He's the guy you should do that with, right? Mm-hmm. Level-headed, seen a ton of hoops.
Yeah.
Brand as a really good coach, fundamental coach.
So now I can start lobbying him directly to change the game of quarters.
Yeah. You can do it. I bet he'll read your tweet.
True or false, Rick Barnes has ever actually looked at Twitter on his phone?
Not a chance.
He had one when he first came here, I believe.
He has a Twitter. He still does. But
does he use it? When's the last time he's tweeted something?
Well, he's never used it, Logan.
Well, when is the last time a tweet has been
used? It has been used.
I'm going to go find it.
I don't know. I'll find out. It's been a minute.
I would look at whatever he read, whatever he tweeted. That would get me on Twitter.
His last tweet was April 5th, 2017.
He needs to step up his Twitter game.
Yeah. It's clearly so important.
Let's see. The last time he liked a tweet, April 29th, 2017. He liked when one of his former players graduated from college.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
He has only liked, Rick Barnes has only ever liked two tweets. Chris Derrington graduating from college and when Rick Barnes came to sing player happy birthday his first year.
Maybe Rick he got Barnes. Banned.
No,
Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes cuts his own grass.
I doubt
Rick Barnes takes out his own garbage.
He probably does take out his own garbage.
I'm just
not cutting.
Rick Barnes. He makes his bed every morning.
I'm going with he got banned, guys.
Not? No, my bed every morning. It's not a like catastrophe, but
I didn't.
I don't really move. I sleep. I don't really move.
And then Pat Summitt said at camp one year that successful people make their bed every day because it's just that little bit of discipline that you need.
Yeah, I don't. I
and
don't,
I started
I don't do
making
that.
My bed then, and I've made my bed every day since.
Yeah, well, you win.
Yeah, we're keeping score.
It only takes a second.
Just for a second, just to see how it feels. We'll come back, 656-9900. It is pouring outside.
My
but
gosh.
The deals are pouring down here at Rusty Wallace Honda. I-75 and Callahan Drive. Come see us on the Eric Ainge Show on the Esports Animal.
Moment, this very moment, you're thinking, I'm not going to look at a car right here, right now. They're open all week long. And they have all these cars out here, and it's a fantastic opportunity for you. If you need a new one, a new pre-owned vehicle, if that makes sense, new car to you, right here at Rusty Wallace Honda.
Because it's Memorial Day all month long, most of the vehicles out here on the lot are priced below market value, and the certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 100,000-mile warranty.
That's incredible.
Ridiculous. So, come out here, I-75 Callahan Drive, Rusty Wallace Honda. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. If you want to join us here on the Eric Ainge Show, Tennessee baseball last night, not a good performance. Now they have to try to bounce back. What do you do after you've left that many runners on base, after you've been that bad? What do you do to bounce back to make sure that doesn't happen?
I don't think you overreact. If I'm Tony Vitello last night after the game, I'm taking more of the angle of that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing on the mound, embarrassing behind the plate, embarrassing in the field, embarrassing at the up to bat, embarrassing leaving guys on base. I don't know about you guys, but I am embarrassed of what we put on the field last night. And then you pose the question to them and you say, so now what? Now what? We're going to let one become two and lose a series to this awful Kentucky team? Everyone, no. Okay. Well, what do we do? What do we do, guys? I mean, we're swinging at balls, bouncing before the plate. We're leaving the bases loaded. We got the bases loaded, I think, twice for Drew Gilbert.
Yep.
Well, what's the answer? Well, you go back to what has gotten us to this point. Plate discipline. Make them prove that they can throw the ball over the plate. You swing at balls in the dirt. You take a strike because you're going, oh, that was a ball. I should make them prove it. And then you take a strike on the outside corner, and you're sitting there. Now you're dead. It's 1-2, and you're swinging at a third strike, bouncing in the dirt. Get ahead in the count. Like we did often, they walked 12 guys. But like I said, most of those walks, most of them, were 3-1 walk. 2-2, 3-2 walk, 3-0 walk, where you're not thinking to swing anyway. Those are easy walks to get. You know, you're daring the pitcher to throw the ball over the plate because you're up 3-0 in the count. You're not hitting the ball great. You know, when you're hot, bats get hot. When you're hot and you're Drew Gilbert or Jordan Beck or Trey Lipscomb and it's 2-0, 3-0, and they groove one, hit the darn thing over the fence.
Yeah.
That's how they play, and it's incredible. But last night, I say don't overreact, because last night was so uncharacteristic of our team. It'd be different if Kentucky just outplayed us and we played good. You know, like Auburn, when they beat us in game two,
yeah,
in the Saturday game, we played pretty good. They played pretty good. They got a hit when it mattered, and they beat us. You don't overreact to that. But I don't know that if you're what, 41-5, right? Isn't that what we are now?
Yes. Let's make sure.
Well, regardless.
41-5, 19-3 in conference.
Okay, so you're 19-3 in conference. You're 41-5. You don't change what you're doing. It's working. It just didn't work last night. So, you know, go back to the drawing board a little bit, have those conversations, get them feeling loose. What you can't do is go out there in game two because you lost the first one and go press. Have we lost a Friday night game yet?
Yes, to Alabama.
Alabama, that's right. And then you went and won the next two. You bring that up. It's not the first time we've lost on Friday.
Tennessee,
we haven't lost a series. Let's go.
A 6-game lead in the loss column over Georgia in the East standings and a 4-game lead in the loss column over Arkansas in the overall SEC standings. So you're still fine. But I think something you have to fight this time of year is complacency.
And I think it got them last night. Listen, you're playing a crappy team. You're in Lexington, Kentucky, where no one wants to be. It's raining.
It was majority of all fans there, which
but it was still empty.
Comparatively, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were 2,000 people in a 7,000-seat stadium.
Yeah, just seats all over the place. They're all the makings. And then Kentucky, credit them, they used that to their advantage.
Yeah.
They lulled them to sleep, including at the plate, walking, do all those walks. That lulls you to sleep.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
So now they have to come back. We come back for hour number two of the Hurricane Show, live here from Rusty Wall. Sando, we're here next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.